This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Marvel Vision, a podcast about Marvel, the MCU, and right now, what if? I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about What If Season 1, Episode 6, What If Killmonger Rescued Tony Stark. What if indeed we're going to talk all about that. So if you haven't watched the episode, go watch it on Disney Plus, then come back here. But the broad strokes is exactly as usual what the title says right at the beginning of the MCU. Tony Stark, instead of getting shrapnel in his heart, gets rescued by Eric Killmonger.
Gets friendship in his heart.
Yes, there you go. And we get a rough approximation of Iron Man mashed up with Black Panther with a little bit of Age of Ultron thrown in there, just for good measure.
Everyone's fave.
Ultimately leading to a lot of folks dying, including Iron Man Tony Stark, among many, many others. And at the end of the day, Killmonger wins, gets back to Wakanda. He's the new Black Panther. And the world will never be the same. And that's kind of how things end there. Now, Pete, I'm curious. You have not been a fan of the darker what-ifs versus the happier, cheerier what-ifs that we know very well from our comics from our childhood. Those were always a laugh a minute. What was your take on this one? And I know specifically I got to have a sense of what you didn't like about it, but go ahead. I'm curious to see if you what you're about to say.
Why don't you give me a little taste of what you think I'm like?
No, I think you were not a huge fan.
Not the podcast has changed a little bit. Now Alex just says our opinions.
Rhyme. I like this. This is fun. I want to see how well he does.
Well, I think you were probably upset about the same thing that upset me. I don't need to see Chadwick Boseman die over and over and over again. It's a real bummer, man.
Hello? Anybody driving this fucking thing? You guys just throwing things on a board and just being like, well, we made a decision about it a while ago. We're not going to I don't know, maybe look at this stuff before we make it.
But come on, you can't change it just
maybe
because
that was a little stronger than I felt, but Chadwick Boseman died.
Don't make me watch him die again. Are you fucking kidding me? Come on.
I hear you. The emotional stakes.
Wait, real
for this
quick question, just because you weren't here for the last episode, what did you think about where they ate Chadwick Boseman's leg? Did you feel better about that?
this is a lot of fun, this show.
Why you ask that question? Yeah.
Why don't you just, you know.
He's been away for a couple of weeks. I haven't had the fun of poking a bear, which is the childhood game we'd play when I was growing up.
Yeah.
In Adirondack Park.
Yeah, the real park out there. You poke this metaphorical bear while Pete was out there poking real bears.
That's right.
Out in the woods. Let's just say, I understand the emotional stakes of this. I feel it too. But from a story perspective, I actually really liked that
from a story perspective?
Let me finish. The end where we get to see Shala talking to Eric in the Ancestors world, I thought was great. It was a great moment, and it capped the episode in a really good way.
Overall, it sounds like, Justin, you and I have a little bit of a differing opinion here. I think this is my least favorite episode of What If so far. It didn't really go very far afield from necessarily some of the beats of Iron Man, but mostly it felt like Black Panther remixed in a certain way. And I like these episodes a lot better when they take some chances, when they go a little farther. It felt like it ended rather abruptly, and to the point that Pete was making, though maybe a little less shouty, I do actually wonder if they changed this episode a little bit, because the Watcher's narration at the end there sounded very targeted, specifically about the tragic legacy of Chadwick Boseman and him versus just Black Panther. So I do wonder if there was maybe a little bit something more to the episode, and instead they threw this thing on there and decided to end it there. Possibly.
You're not better than me just because you talk in a more monotone, less yelly manner, okay? Fucking dick. Yeah, you're like, in a less shouty way, I'm going to say my opinion, and so I'm going to express my thoughts while I kick my friend in the fucking nuts.
I'm sorry, Pete. I apologize. I'll stop poking the bear now.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Because I agree with you, Alex, a bit. I'm not saying I was positive, super positive on this episode. I just liked the way that end bit was. Because I think the series has all the potential in the world. It's what if. Anything goes. But, and we talked about this in the last episode, I think, Alex, it does feel like, because we're so stuck in the MCU movie continuity, they don't deviate much from the story points that we already know. And then in the case of this episode, they're just slamming story points together from Iron Man and Black Panther. And it does feel a little, I think they can take way more creative leaps, and it feels like the only palette they are able to sort of make changes in, at least in the last three episodes, is like, what if this person killed this person? And it's like, not all what ifs are like, what if this guy died? Or what if,
right,
what if this person? So like, it just feels like we can expand the palette here. Even if you're just sticking with MCU continuity, you can expand the palette any which way. There's a lot of other ways to go, and we're stuck in this like, yup, he died, whoa! Makes you think.
I agree with Justin. I think there's better choices to be made. It's cool that it's like showing how great these heroes are in their roles. It's a nice way to kind of be like, hey, it's a good thing Tony Stark had to go through some stuff so he could grow as a person and be a better hero. It's like, hell yeah, I agree with that. But it's like, hey, what if we explored some darker, shittier ideas? You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't that be cool? I do agree though that this scene with, you know, the kind of in the dead realm was very powerful and cool. And I'm always more, you know, I'm super happy. It's hard to be mad at this episode because I got more Chadwick Boseman, even though like watching him die again was real rough. I still got to hear his voice again. And it was still like that, like badass slow motion punch, like Black Panther punch was really just quite marvelous.
The Black Panther fight stuff I thought was great, and a nice, like, just great action beat in the middle when I was like, we're seeing a lot of him do this, sort of a bad sign for maybe his future in the rest of the episode, which instantly came true. But let me talk about a positive. Killmonger, despite being a villain, it was great to see him again. He's a great villain. Yeah.
Fan favorite.
Great fan fave. I really, like, and from the story of this episode, it was really well thought out and sort of was a nice, like, Jacob's ladder of Killmonger making these different moves and getting ahead of basically everyone this entire time, except for the button at the end.
Yeah. Taken on its own, this is a really good Killmonger story, like you're saying. I don't think they totally nailed the level of Michael B. Jordan's swagger in animated form. You know, we've talked about this before, but like when the characters are standing still, there's something about the animation that doesn't quite work about their faces some of the time. But the action stuff is so good. And like you're talking about, Michael B.'s voice is so good here. He knows how to capture it, even if the animation isn't quite working. And the plot moves are still good because he is always 3 to 5 steps ahead of absolutely everybody at all time. So that is very fun to watch. Also fun to watch, one of my favorite underrated characters from the MCU, Ulysses Klaue, played by Andy Serkis, just because it's so weird. I forget how weird it is until he comes out with, I think he's doing an Afrikaner accent or something like that. It's
bizarre. He's having fun. It seems like he's having fun with this character. Every time we see him, it's a fun, like how excited he is about being a bad guy. It's, you know, the guy loves his work.
He has like this, South African John Wayne vibe going for him. And it is like, it does stick out in a good way, I think, anytime we see him.
And also the rest of the Wakanda stuff in this episode, you know, it wasn't all of the voices, but Angela Bassett was Queen Miranda.
Angela Bassett, whooping some ass.
Okoye. Interesting. This took me a second to figure out. This was an interesting episode for continuity, I think, because it is, 2008? Is that Iron Man? Is that when that came out, I think? Whatever it is, it's before the rest of the MCU stuff. So, of course, you're going to have a young Shuri here. You're not going to have the old, slightly older Shuri we know. And I was like, why is she so tidy? Why do they draw her? Oh, okay. I know how time works. I get it now. But then there's also things like they didn't totally establish that T'Challa had been Black Panther for a while when he showed up in Civil War. So that took me a second to figure out as well when he showed up at Klaue's boat, being like, wait, was he Black Panther? I thought he picked it up after his dad died, but he didn't. He was already Black Panther at that point. They just didn't totally establish that when they got to the movies. So there's a little bit of a timeline weirdness there. But again, nice to see all the Wakanda stuff. I liked little Shuri. I thought it was a good note.
Yeah.
Her figuring everything out at the end, because of course Shuri would. So that was good. On the opposite end of the spectrum, I was a little bummed out about this. I mean, I think this is the nature of the beast. I don't know how you guys felt. The Iron Man voices, Tony Stark, Pepper Potts, not exactly right, and it kept slightly taking me out of it.
They're not the same person. I gotta say, that was a pretty decent RDJ.
Sure.
For not being RDJ. So I didn't mind it too much. I did look up the person that's playing Obadiah Stane, Jeff Bridges' character. Yeah. His name is Kill Dandenhuvel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Badass name.
He was a good Obadiah Stane. He had the right amount of, I've just put 15 marbles in my mouth for really capturing Jeff Daniels. That was a good job there.
I would like to just kind of back up the truck. The kind of the way the episode ended with the Potts Shuri team up there was at least left it a little bit of a positive note. So like the fact that we got to see those characters kind of give it hope for hopefully they can turn this thing around was good.
Why didn't Shuri go to T'Chaka? I feel like she could have brought evidence to him and convinced him that Killmonger was bad. No?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's hard to say exactly because they don't really define it. But the way I saw it was that Killmonger took advantage of their thirst for revenge and justice for T'Challa, that they were already in the bag for him. So mm-hmm. I think Shuri was like, they're too heartbroken by T'Challa's death. And now the fact that Eric has come into their lives and is now almost taking the place or becoming the prodigal son returned. So I think she had to go outside of the family.
Now, another voice showed up in this episode, and I think this is really turning out to be the breakout character of What If. Leslie Bibb, once again, back as Christine Everhart, everybody's favorite news reporter. She asks a question, mm-hmm. and the conference really pushes Tony on a couple of things.
Yeah.
So good to see her back. I think this is all building up to the final episode of What If is going to be all What If Christine Everhart was more involved in the MCU.
Yeah, the ultimate press conference, final episode, just questions. What if Christine Everhart asked even more hard-hitting questions?
Other notes, other things that you like. Pete, even though you were bummed, was there anything else that you liked about the episode in particular?
The fact that we did get to see Killmonger does get to see the sunset, that was nice.
Just a note, he got to see the sunset in Black Panther as he was dying.
Yeah,
that's the best way to see a sunset, man. It's not going to get better than this.
Is it?
It's not going to get better than this.
It's a nice metaphor.
If you live, it's a better way to see a sunset. Yeah, so
it's not good to die when you're seeing a sunrise because you're like, oh man,
you don't want to die. You don't want to die at like noon. Ugh. Sun right above, hot.
Ugh, sweaty.
I love a cooling moment.
Yeah, they'll look at your dead body and be like, this guy's too sweaty to bury. No thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll just slide right out of the grave.
Ew. I feel like your sweat sort of stops pretty soon after you die. It's not like your fingernails.
No, you sweat for up to 8 hours after you die.
Coffins just fill with salt water.
Yeah, basically. That's if you've been working out as much as I have. You know what I'm talking about?
Listener, Alex sort of flexed. Like
arm did one of those cartoon things where there was a U bent to the bottom and actually the vessel fell down.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Other things that I liked, Happy got a good punch in. That was fun to see. Jon Favreau. I just feel like it was too much to watch Black Panther and Rhodey die back to back like that in such a turn. And you're just kind of you're real shook after that. So it was tough to get back on board after that kind of thing.
I agree with you there. It was tough, but that's what if's all about.
You were going to call out questions. Another moment that you like, though, Justin, I believe.
Yes. First off, was it weird to anybody else to see the Watcher's mouth move at the top of the episode?
Yeah, that was weird.
Usually, I mean, he's just sitting there quiet with mouth closed. Even when he's talking, he's just like sort of looking at people sternly. Yeah. So when his mouth is moving, I was like, usually he's just more with the eyes and less with the mouth. You know what I mean?
And he was looking right at us as he was talking.
Do you think when, so there's a couple of different views of the Watcher, right? Like we see him kind of floating in space. Sometimes we see him in the background and it's a full body shot. Sometimes, like later on in the episode, it's just his head over the horizon. Do you think he's looking in closer, like just getting closer? And he's like, ooh, this is interesting. And he's leaning in and that's when we just see his head.
Do you think he has like an astigmatism or he's a little nearsighted?
He has maybe he doesn't know who any of these characters are. Maybe he's looking, he's like,
is that T'Chaka?
What if Killmonger? Is that Killmonger? He was in the Black Panther movie, right? All right.
We did get to see Killmonger do, make one of his marks, so that was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun.
I've been doing that too, by the way.
Smart.
Yeah. Every time.
No kills, right?
Every Zero time I kill an ant, I scratch myself up. Oh, wow. So far, no marks, like you said.
Come to my house, you'll have a real Scarfest. we're all sort of doing the Killmonger game until we actually start murdering, right?
Absolutely. Final thoughts on this episode, though, before we move on to the vision board? Justin.
A couple more moments. It was nice to see all the Avengers moments animated right at the top with the swirl around shot on the Avengers was cool. Tony with the Infinity Gauntlet on his Iron Man armor was very cool. A lot of great lines in this episode as well, just to call out. A man was saved. The man was saved. The hero was lost, I thought was cool right at the top. And then a line that Killmonger has right after he kills Tony. The big difference between you and me is you can't see the difference between you and me.
Yeah.
That was dope. And that's why I think Killmonger, despite the fact that he's just murders indiscriminately, like that philosophy behind the character is what makes him so interesting. And I just
can I just mention, Pete, just before you get to your point, the one thing that I wanted to mention before I forget. This gets back to the thing about these episodes feeling a little limited. I liked Killmonger teaming up with Tony Stark so much. I wanted more of that. I wanted to see that stretch out through more of MCU history. Like what happens when Loki invades with the Chitauri? What are Killmonger and Tony Stark doing? How does the MCU head off in different directions if they really are working together? Obviously, Killmonger's goal always is to get back to Wakanda, but it was a bummer to kill off Tony Stark because I felt like there was a lot more there. I thought that was a really cool pairing. Pete, sorry about that. Over to you.
Well, first off, I agree with what you're saying. There is better ways to explore this than just the fucking depressing kind of negative shit we got. Also, along the lines of great lines like Justin was talking about, the way that, you know, Black Panther really kind of got to Killmonger and was like, so your answer for suffering is more suffering? That's your big plan? Like, that was awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just were you talking about, like, when you talked about the animation, the kind of like Avengers moments, were you talking about the flip? Were you talking about the Marvel flip in the beginning where it was like it would have been cooler if it went from the comics right to the animation instead of this weird human thing for a little while and then
mention it.
Animate the end at the end? Like
the weird human thing is called actors, by the way.
Yeah. And I don't know if you noticed, but actually a lot of the stuff you're watching in this is based on the actors. The comic books are just paper, which sit on like a desk or on the floor sometimes.
Or maybe they should be laminated and, you know, put on a wall.
Laminate them? You fully laminate out the whole thing?
So you can never get at them? It's terrible.
It's expensive. So much plastic. And the one final thing, another line. I love the little joke when Killmonger showed Tony his basically Gundam winged robot design. He was like, what? I'm into anime.
I love anime. What? Fun. Yeah.
I mean, that felt like Michael B. Jordan is legit hardcore into anime, so that felt like maybe he even improvised that or they put that in for him or something like that. Very fun line. Yeah.
Fun.
All right, we're going to move over to the vision board where we talk about things coming forward in Marvel. Now, potential spoilers, ahoy for all of this, because we're going to talk about some Marvel news.
Are you a captain now? Are you a captain? Time to put on the spoiler hat.
Alex is at sea right now.
What?
To the Alex sea of spoilers. Whoa, there's some choppy spoilers ahead, yar.
Wow. His desk floating in the New York Harbor, Alex working tirelessly, trying to keep his Wi-Fi from falling into the drink.
Well, let's get into spoilers this. This is some Marvel stuff that happened over the past week. Now, this is one that we're definitely going to be talking about here on the Marvel Vision podcast. But just the other day, the Hawkeye trailer finally dropped. Very exciting, teasing the first season of the show that's coming just in time for Thanksgiving and Christmas. What'd you guys think? What was your big impression here? I know we're all huge Hawkeye heads, so let's get into it.
Hawksgiving is coming our way. I mean, the art, for a comic book reader, the art, the title.
I feel a little asterisk coming on here.
Well, here's the thing.
Here we go.
The logo is the Matt Fraction run of Hawkeye.
Sure.
Redefined the character.
Which I think David Aja designed the logo as well. I could be wrong about that.
100%. I think you're right. And we have this fun, like, Hawkeye who, like, gets messed up, makes mistakes.
Yeah.
And then behind the logo, we re-meet Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye, who is maybe the opposite energy of that run on Hawkeye. So it is like brooding, dark. And then we get all of this, the Orphan outfit.
Ronan?
Is it the Orphan? Ronan, that's it. Ronan.
What?
The Ronan outfit.
Orphan.
That's from DC. Yeah.
Have you read comics before?
Yeah, I've read too many comics and they pickled my brain.
Were you just in Annie or something? Were you just watching Annie with your kids?
Orphan, the character.
They do go to the theater. Is that what you're thinking of with Little Orphan Annie?
Yeah.
Yes. Rogers the Musical is playing.
Yeah. Okay.
The Sun Will Come Out.
Did you just adopt a child? What happened?
Yeah, that's how it works. Anyway.
Pete's correct. You just have to say orphan out loud, and then suddenly you have a child. Oh, no. Yeah. We've said it several times on this podcast.
It's like Candyman. Yeah.
Candyman. Yeah, you look in a mirror say orphan five times. Bunch of bee orphans come out.
So I guess what I'm saying, though, is I'm curious how they're going to make the tonal shifts if they are going to do this storyline where Hawkeye is living in New York, which the trailer does a lot of work to be like, here's his family. Remember them? He has to get away from them because they're not fun or part of this. So he's in New York, and like it's the trailer's doing so much work to be like, okay, let's clear the decks. And here's a fun version of Hawkeye who meets a younger Hawkeye who actually does feel very fun.
Yeah, there's a weird. Most of the trailer makes a lot of sense. The most unbelievable part to me is it turns out Haley Steinfeld's Kate Bishop is a fan of Hawkeye, which I don't think anybody is.
Doesn't exist.
So
sounds like a lie.
Yeah. Must be some sort of magic from Doctor Strange or something like that, a mind wipe or something. Ooh, I don't know. Scroll. But to your point, I think it feels like the first episode is going to flip over backwards to get to the point that we know from the Matt Fraction David Aja comic and get there. But when it does, the rapport actually is fun. And Haley Steinfeld looks great as Kate Bishop. I'm very excited to watch her on this show. They've got the tracksuit mafia going on. They've got a lot of touch points there. I hope Matt Fraction and David Aja are making a ton of cash off the show. I suspect probably not, but they definitely should. And I was more excited to see this based on the trailer than I was previously, just not particularly being a fan of Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye. What about you, Pete?
Well, here's the thing. Like, this trailer for me was like, hey, we all know you want the Fraction Hawkeye, but remember, Jeremy Renner is playing the role. So if you saw his Amazon page, you know what this is going to be. So, like, the focus is
Amazon page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a whole Amazon store. It was mostly beef jerky and lanterns and things.
Oh, yeah. Knives. Different kinds of knives. So, anyways, so it's the comedy and the heart is going to be in Kate's role, and it looks like Haley's going to do great as that. So I'm hoping that that's how they're going to shift and kind of roll with this and still try to get the feel of the Mad for Action stuff. You know what I mean? So like, I'm not, you can't make Jeremy Renner be likable or be something he's not. So it's like, you just got to accept that it's going to be that, and then, you know, be open to the other things, because otherwise you're going to fight it the whole way, man.
What do you think the Pizza Dog episode will be like?
So good. I don't know if they're, are they going to go for something like that? Like, we're probably going to get 6 episodes here. Maybe we'll get something from... amazing. For people that don't know what we're talking about, there's a whole issue that is from Lucky the Pizza Dog, the dog that they adopt's perspective. It's absolutely fantastic. I wonder if they'll do some sort of like Pizza Dog vision throughout various episodes, like sort of pepper it in there versus one whole episode.
No, yeah, I don't know if they'll get that. Just like GoPro on the top of a dog episode.
Great. I'd watch it. I'd love to see that. Anyway, it looks like fun. Let's move on. This is another little bit that apparently was out there for a while, but I didn't realize until the other day, so I just wanted to mention it here. Apparently, there are 9 episodes in this season of What If instead of 10, as was previously reported.
Whoa.
I heard from a couple of people who said this is because of COVID. They weren't able to complete one of them. But the interesting thing there is this was mentioned as part of a press release about the mid-season trailer, where they also plugged that the heroes of the multiverse are all coming together. So if they cut an episode out, hopefully it was not an important one, because all of these dangling plot lines that we've seen, it seems like they're actually going to be coming together in some sort of big thing at the end of the season, which is exciting.
Yeah, I think we're going to assemble all of the characters together, maybe all of the good ones versus all of the bad ones, and they will fight in some way, perhaps over some sort of a Marvel Zombieverse, hypothetically.
I think that makes 100% sense, and I think that's, in fact, what we're going to see.
Maybe the episode they cut out was, what if all the Avengers just died all at once or something?
I hope they didn't cut out the Christine Everhart episode. I'm really looking forward to that one. That's going to be so cool. Man. A couple of other things, and these are potentially big spoilers, so definitely turn away if you don't want to know. First of all, there's been a lot of back and forth about Spider-Man No Way Home and who is or is not in that movie. One thing that's been discussed very widely, to the point that some stills were released that I believe were later debunked and are not true, but that's how rabid people are getting, that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are in the movie, making it a legit Spider-Verse movie, mixing it up with Tom Holland. Now, Andrew Garfield initially said it's 100% not true. But then a recent interview, he said people are going to be disappointed given all the crazy No Way Home rumors. To me, that sounds like a confirmation that he's in it.
What?
But B, maybe it's not quite as big of a part as people were speculating. What do you guys take away from that?
Maybe he was saying people are going to be disappointed in his Spider-Man movies.
Right, the first
one. When they see how good this one is.
It seemed like, I watched the whole interview, and it seemed like he was trying to be, he said, like, oh, I'm just trying to tamper expectations so that, like, I'm not in it. Because he was like, that would be news to me if there was a, you know, leak thing of, and it seemed like something, he was like, Tom Holland's great. I like just watching it. I'm not trying to be Spider-Man.
Here's what I think. I think it's going to be a one-off Spider-Man meme joke moment and then out. So I don't think we're going to get a whole... I think that's what he means by, you're going to be disappointed if you think I'm in this, because I bet he is in it, to your point, Alex, but I bet it is for a one-off little cameo joke and not much more than that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the initial rumors were that there was going to be a whole third act with the three of them fighting the Sinister Six.
No.
No? You're going to say no?
I just don't think so. Well, first off, that's a lot. And second off, who wants that? Like, bringing back these other Spider-Men to be a full part of the story feels confusing, and it feels like you might split your fan base a little bit when it's like, everyone's pretty happy with where we are Spider-Man-wise, so let's just keep that.
I mean, I could see it happening because they're kind of go for broke here. The original plan was to have four of the Spider-Man movies with Tom Holland because of Sony and Disney negotiations. Who knows exactly what's going to happen here? So they might be like, let's go for broke in this last one and just throw absolutely everything in there. But I hope whatever happens, if there are cameos, if it's Andrew Garfield's in every frame of the movie or he's in, you know, just one singular scene, I do hope it keeps it focused on Tom Holland's Spider-Man, because that's the point of the movie, you know?
Yeah. Here's what I think it's – the speculation is clearly pointing to Mephisto, Al Pacino, and red makeup joining the cast.
100%. 100%. Another rumory thing, there's been a lot of talk about Vincent D'Onofrio maybe coming back as Kingpin and potentially for Hawkeye, which I think would be great. I'd love to see that. He was awesome on Daredevil. That would be so much fun. But he seemed to also throw a little cold water on these rumors with a tweet where he said, basically, it is very weird to Vincent D'Onofrio way that he was very flattered by this, but he writes things like this all the time. People responding specifically to him favoriting tweets after the Hawkeye trailer saying, oh man, I hope Vincent D'Onofrio is in this as Kingpin. And they're like, that's a confirmation. I think he was just being a nice guy. What do you guys think?
Oh, someone favoring a tweet that mentions their name in it? Yeah, I think that's just what people do.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean shit.
Pete, what do you think? Is Kingpin in the Hawkeye series? Does this confirm it?
I don't. It would be great. How could you not bring him back? That role is unbelievable. He knocked it out of the park. We got to find some way to bring him back. I don't know if it's Hawkeye, but hopefully this gets some people talking over at Marvel and they can make it happen.
Now, if he does show up, presumably this is not going to be necessarily the Netflix-verse version of Kingpin, who is making omelets all the time. So this is an MCU version. Do you think he's going to like make pancakes or waffles? Or what sort of breakfast food is he going to talk over while he's making?
I think it's oatmeal. You know what I mean? Seems like,
the perfect oatmeal. You have to steep it overnight oats. Kingpin.
Did you just say night oats?
Night oats.
Overnight oats. Overnight oats is the new hero that's going to replace Daredevil, because we already did Daredevil.
We can confirm this here, I think. Charlie Cox is in Spider-Man No Way Home, but he's playing night oats.
I don't know where you're getting your oats, Zalvin, but somebody tells you they're night oats. You're not getting the right thing.
All
right, we got one last one to talk about here, and this is a very, very big potential spoiler, though it hasn't necessarily been confirmed. It's about Venom 2, so turn away if you don't want to hear this. This is the post-credit sequence of Venom 2. Reportedly, there was a UK screening that is confirmed, so fans did get to see it. They leaked, of course, the entire plot, even though you're not supposed to do that, and posted that online. But also, apparently, and there's many confusing reports here, but apparently the post-credit sequence in some way may show off the scene from Spider-Man Far From Home where Tom Holland is revealed as Spider-Man by J. Jonah Jameson, and Eddie gets to see it and either says something like, I hate that guy, or tasty. Either way, it is Venom either voice, way, one of the two things. If this is true, what do you guys think about this? Are you excited to potentially see Venom be part of the MCU, or whatever is going on here going forward? Pete, you're nodding yes. That's good for an audio podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, I think usually Justin jumps in first. I just think it's one of those things where it would be cool, but those are two different companies, and it's a lot of back and forth. So I don't know, man. I think the best way to do it is just to have some fun at the end of movies, you know. But I would love it. I would love to get Deadpool and some more shit. You know, I want to see more Venom, please. Yes.
What about you, Justin?
Let's bring him in. I mean, even if it's just like a fun little gesture, I don't know. I don't know. Do we want, where are we going with Tom Holland next? I guess not to get too far ahead.
He's growing up so quick, you know?
Yeah.
That kid, we used to know him back when.
Where are the three of us going with Tom Holland next?
I think he is replacing one of us on the podcast, but I don't want to say which one.
Oh, wow.
Oh, good.
It's me.
Yeah. Wow. That was going to be my last guess.
The thing is, if this post-credit sequence is accurate, this feels like it honestly could mean anything. It doesn't mean Venom is showing up in a million movies now. All it means to me, given Sony's history, is it's this very Hail Mary thing from Sony of like, yeah, we're part of the MCU, and they probably don't have active development on Venom 3. They don't necessarily know what's going on with Tom Holland or anything like that. They're barely planning at this point going forward with any of their movies, but they're like, I don't know, they're thinking one checker move ahead at this point, and their checker move here is, we own the rights to Jonah Jameson, we own the rights to Spider-Man. Hey, Marvel, is it cool if we put the C in? And Kevin Feige's like, sure.
Whatever.
That's fine. Have fun.
I mean, the next move is the J. Jonah Jameson standalone movie. It's like their Citizen Kane.
I would love to see J. Jonah Jameson movie, Christine Everhart, What If episode. Bring them together. What kind of news are they going to make? It's going to be great. Will it be a zine? A newspaper? We don't know.
What if they launched a blog?
Oh, that would be
very
so cool.
Modern.
Yeah. They'd head to Substack, probably.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Definitely explaining that to the Marvel fans would be great.
This is fun.
This is fun. And this is a great point to wrap up this episode. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about What If and the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Marvel Vision Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay marvelous.
Stay marvelous. What? How?